Hi, my name is Maunina Lajos, and I'm one of the scheduled presenters for this session. But the moderator for this session was supposed to be Dr. Cheryl LaCourche here. But because of scheduling conflicts, she's not able to join us today. She's scheduled, in fact, moderating a roundtable session at this time. So there will be four of us today presenting, and so let me introduce the speakers now, and if they want to reintroduce themselves again, especially for the latecomers, they'll feel free to do so. Okay. So Otis Owens is our first presenter. Otis is a fourth-year PhD candidate in the Department of Health Promotion, Education, and Behavior in the Arnold School of Public Health at the University of South Carolina. His research focuses on the planning, implementation, and evaluation of community-based health programs that utilize social media and technology to impact health knowledge and behavior. To date, his research has focused primarily on prostate cancer communications in minority communities, and the title of his presentation is Informed Decision-Making in a New Age, Technology Use Among Middle-Aged and Older African-American Men in the South. Then I will come in next, and I am an Associate Professor of Pharmacy Administration at the MCPHS University School of Pharmacy based in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I've been in teaching maybe even before Otis was born. I teach a healthcare, U.S. healthcare and public health systems course to pharmacy students at MCPHS University, and also offer an elective course in health literacy. I'm going to present my work, and it's titled Enhancing the Health Information Literacy Skills of Older Adults. Okay. Our third speaker is Crystal Lumpkins. Dr. Lumpkins is an assistant professor at the University of Kansas School of Medicine and is also a voluntary faculty member at the School of Journalism in Lawrence, Kansas. Her primary research is in cancer communication targeted to minority and underserved populations. She is currently principal investigator of National Cancer Institute Cancer Communication Study, where she is working with faith-based organizations to evaluate the efficacy of church-based communications among African Americans. And the title of her presentation is A Prescription for Internet Access, Appealing to Older Adults Through Social Media Network to Combat Colorectal Cancer. And our fourth presenter is Julianne St. John. Julianne St. John is the director for the Center of Community Health Development's National Community Health Worker Training Center at Texas A&M School of Rural Public Health. She has her doctorate in public health from the University of Texas Health Sciences Center at Houston School of Public Health. Julie is a Texas certified community health worker instructor and has worked with CHWs over 10 years. Julie's scope of work includes grant writing, assessments, program planning, partnership development, research projects, evaluation, and CHW training and curriculum development. So, first of all, thank you again for your willingness to present at this meeting. So, let's begin. Otis, you can take the stage.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be on such a distinguished panel this morning. Okay, so I have my timer up here, too. So I'm just going to be talking to you today about really making the case for why we should be using technology and how we can move forward with using technology in aging and older populations. And this work I'll be presenting on today is really the first phase of a three-phase project that's really captures my dissertation. So I don't have any relationships to disclose. And this is just a quick outline. I'll be going over the background and significance of the research, talking a little bit about the conceptual framework, methods, results, and talking about the directions that I'm planning to move in the future. So what's the problem? The issue is that prostate cancer is the number one killer of men or whatever behind skin cancer. And it's especially pronounced amongst African American men. There's a huge disparity. African American men die at twice the rate of their Caucasian counterparts, and there's many reasons for this. However, this disparity is 50% greater than the national average in the state of South Carolina. So whereas we have, you know, straightforward guidelines with most other cancers, such as how often you should get a colonoscopy, how often you should get a mammogram, it's not so the guidelines aren't so straightforward in relation to in regards to prostate cancer. And part of the reason is that the research is not supporting that men should get screened for prostate cancer. It's not showing that the mortality rate is being reduced. So a lot of the recommendations are confusing, to say the least. So the United States Preventive Services Task Force back in 2011 released some recommendations saying that no healthy men should be screened for prostate cancer on a routine basis. However, I've based my research on the American Cancer Society's recommendation that men should be able to learn about the risk, benefits, and uncertainties of screening and go sit down and make like a shared decision with their physician about whether or not screening is right for them. But in order to make this informed decision, the Institute of Medicine has recommended that we find creative and culturally appropriate ways to communicate these risk benefits and uncertainties of screening, and also make people more comfortable walking into a doctor's office speaking on what is otherwise I would call a sensitive topic. But on this slide, I'm showing internet use. So this is home versus broadband. And if we look across the ages, we can see that many people are using technologies across the group, which, of course, this decreases across time. But I just argue the fact that, you know, these people are using it and many people are willing to use internet-based technologies. Also, if we look at it by race and focus on especially the blacks and Hispanics, we can see that there is a disparity in access if we look at home broadband. But if we pay attention to the internet use in general, we see there's less of a disparity. So in whites, it's 80%, as blacks is 79%. That's not much of a gap. And I certainly believe that this is because of the access to technologies such as mobile-based technology, which is allowing them to access the internet. So where are African Americans in particular getting information about health and cancer? And through my research, the literature is showing that primarily these people are going to their doctor when they can access it, but are also using other sources, secondary and tertiary sources, to also access and support information. And these include technologies such as computers, televisions, mobile phones, and so forth. And the least people are actually using paper-based literature now. So what are some of the benefits for using computer-based technology in general? So I explored the literature and found that in general, with informed decision making, you have benefits ranging from improved knowledge to enhancing doctor-patient communication, which is exactly what we want. In prostate cancer screening specifically, we see some of the benefits are, you know, improving their knowledge, again, the self-efficacy with them speaking to a doctor, but some studies have also looked at people's participation in informed decision following particular interventions, computer-based interventions, and they found that they showed significant increases in participation in informed decision-making. So my study purpose, at least for the first phase in general, was to find out, and I'm really working towards the development of some type of tool. So that's my end goal. But in phase one, I just wanted to see what were the knowledge needs of my population, which was African-American men between the ages of 40 and, well, really 40 and above. And the reason I chose 40 is this is when the American Cancer Society recommends that people at very high risk of prostate cancer begin these discussions with their physician about screening. So I wanted to know, what did they know, especially about the, you know, the risk and screening knowledge? How did they go about making decisions about whether or not to receive screening? And what were their usage of, attitudes toward, and access to interactive communication technology such as computer, internet, mobile phones, and so forth? This is my very confusing and convoluted framework, but I hope to break it down for you a little bit. So this framework was based on two theories. The first is a unified theory of use of acceptance and use of technology. So basically what this says simply is that the constructs listed on the left side, the performance expectancy, facilitated conditions, these are things that will determine whether or not people will have an intention to and ultimately adopt a specific behavior or a specific use of a technology. So in this case, a kiosk or a computer-based technology. However, we cannot get to those outcomes on the right side, prostate knowledge, informed decision self-efficacy, and technology use self-efficacy, unless this intervention is designed in a way that is not taxing on a person's short-term memory. So this is captured by the cognitive theory of multimedia learning. So again, this is phase one. There's three phases in my research. I'm presenting on phase one, which is basically qualitative data collection that can lead to a primary intervention. So this is my sample population again. They needed to self-identify as African-American men, be 40 years or older, have no history of prostate cancer, and so forth. So at the end, I recruited 39 African-American men, and they participated in 6 focus groups where I developed a protocol, and they all received a $10 incentive. And these were the research questions again. What do African-American men know about the risk factors and symptoms for prostate cancer? Also, what do they know about the risk benefits and uncertainties of the screenings? And this, the text below captures how I analyzed the data. Also, how are African-American men making decisions? Are these decisions shared? Are they influenced by family members? Are they actually, you know, coming in, making the decision on their own when they come in, like, hey, can I have screening? Also, in general, for what purposes are African Americans using these various technologies? So these were my demographic results. Men range between 39 and 66, and I had one person who was 39 because I just had to make an exception for this person. They really were excited about participating in the research, and they were, you know, close to the age. It was 39, my cutoff was 40. Also, you'll notice that I didn't have anybody who had less than a high school education in my group, which is not typical of the populations that I usually work in. Also, over 62% were employed, almost 92% were insured, and we had a range of incomes, household incomes. So overall, I found that participants were primarily knowledgeable about prostate cancer, including some of the prevalent symptoms and who the high-risk groups were. They knew that African Americans were a high-risk group, with exception to some misperceptions. Typically, these perceptions are with this type of screening. Commonly, people confuse the prostate cancer screening with the colon cancer screening because anatomically they take place in the same area of the body. Also, few men, however, were informed about the risk and uncertainties of prostate cancer screening. They weren't informed about the fact that these screenings are not 100% accurate. Also, you know, they are using technology. They are using internet and television and email for a number of purposes, including finding health information. And almost all participants in this group have received screening. However, a little over 54% reported having a discussion with their doctor, especially about these risks of the screening. Typically, these men went in and their doctor told them, hey, you're this particular age, you're over 40, you need to get screened, and this is why. But they didn't say, hey, this test could have some false negatives or false positives. It's not 100% accurate. And men were also open to receiving information through a computer-based format, such as a module. So I asked them, if we were to collaboratively create some type of technology-based tool, what would you want this tool to include? So we spoke specifically about the content first. What would you like to see in this module? So they said, well, we just need basic information. We want to know about the signs and symptoms. We want to know about these uncertainties that you speak of. We want to know about the incidence and mortality. And we want to know also at what age, because sometimes the ages are confusing. For Caucasian Americans, it's 50 and above, and this word gets out to some African Americans, so they think the age is 50. So we want a definite age in this module that could tell us about what age we should begin these discussions. And I asked them about what other features should it have to accommodate people of varying literacy levels in your communities. And they said, hey, we want it to be easy to use for everyone. And how could I make it easier? They said, well, for an older population, maybe large text and buttons. We want a touch screen for easy navigation, a touch screen and an index for easy navigation, because sometimes the keys become intimidating. Also, we needed to incorporate sports. You have to have a way to get men attracted to your interventions. We want to incorporate sports some type of way. And also a question and answer exercise could be advantageous because it can reiterate information throughout the module. And also, you know, I'm younger, I'm really into technology, so I said, hey, what are you guys' thoughts on an avatar? And I can't say that everybody was, you know, jumping like hooray. Some people didn't even know what an avatar was. They thought it was something out of the movie Avatar. They didn't actually understand. But once we got into a more in-depth discussion about what this avatar was and how these avatars are being used, they were just like, okay, yes. So I said, what would be the characteristics? Gotcha. And they said we absolutely wanted it to be male. We wanted to look like us. We wanted to be a similar age, and we wanted to be African-American. So some of the conclusions are that, you know, since these older men are using technology on a day-to-day basis, actually, because I found that in the working population, as well as we have a high population of veterans, and they are going in to find benefit information through these online portals. So since these people are using it, researchers should just consider how we can make informed decision-making interventions that incorporate technology, and this is across all diseases. Also, future technology interventions should not only be easy to use and provide information that can increase knowledge, but make people more comfortable actually going into their doctor's office and preparing them through a role play or another exercise to speak with a doctor about this topic. And I also think, you know, I have both strengths and limitations. Some of the main strengths are really me having this interdisciplinary collaboration, which is with the community and also the School of Computer Science and the School of Media Arts. And also the fact that this is community-driven. I'm not forcing these things over. I am just taking information back, using this information to build the best intervention possible. Also, some of the limitations, I'm not accessing any actual behavior. I'm not accessing their, you know, whether or not they went to the doctor. This project is all about building the best intervention, and then future research will look at how people are responding to this intervention. It's very limited generalizability. I only had, you know, 39 African-American men from a specific area in the state of South Carolina, and also all of the data is self-report. But these are some of the implications. I think that the tool, you know, developed could not only increase, you know, people's participation in informed decision making, but in turn also reduce the burden of prostate cancer in the state of South Carolina. And I also think that future research, this can be used also, future research that I'll do through the course of this dissertation can also be used to inform best practices for community academic partnerships to create these low-cost technological interventions. Now, I'd just like to acknowledge my committee members and co-authors, Dr. Daniela Freeman, who is the chair of my committee, and also Heather Brandt, James Hebert, Jay Bernhard, my department, USC Institute for African American Research, USC Health Communication Research Group, and all of my study participants. And that is it for me.